been two women up here just a couple minutes ago that have been a real blessing in my life. Both of them in a great way. And I'm very thankful for what the Lord has done, both with me and them. But I've been thinking about some things here in the Scriptures. Just lately, last few weeks maybe, or a couple months before we came up here, been going through some dry times, and then started noticing some of the other guys in the church having the same troubles. You know, just kind of dead. Can't really think of another word for it, you know. And I've been thinking about some of these verses in the Bible that used to really get me going. It used to really have an impact on my life. It's kind of funny, I told Brian, you know, because he was telling me, yeah, got you set up kind of late in the show here. And I said, man, no problem. I usually preach something so weird nobody else is going to steal it, you know. But today I brought something that just about anybody could have stolen. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And these are some verses that, you know, we've heard them a long time. Anybody that's been around here any amount of time have heard them lots of times. You know, if you're visiting, maybe you've only heard it a few times, but or maybe not even at all. But right here in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. But the thing that I was thinking about, go. Go ye. I remember back when I was younger, hearing this verse, also Mark 16, 15, I think it is, or something like that. Man, those verses used to always ring a bell there, man. They'd always hit hard in the heart. Go. It was a command to go. I got saved at 14 years old, so it was kind of hard for me just kind of up and leave, you know, and go to a mission field or whatever, you know. But I realized that I had a job to do where I was at. And got to witnessing people just by anybody I could find. I had a zeal that I've since lost. And that's what I was talking about. These last couple of months, I've been noticing, where's my zeal? Where's my ganas? You know, I don't know what, I suppose zeal is about the only word I can think of in English. But where is that desire to just do something for God? You know, I see these brethren that are going preaching with us sometimes, that after we're done preaching, I look for the ones that looked like they were nibbling at the bait here while we were preaching. You know, they looked like they were paying attention. I go to them, and if they fizzle out, well, then I'm pretty much just standing around waiting for everybody else, and I'm watching some of the other guys, and I see how some of these guys, I mean, they got some zeal, and when they're done with one, they kind of walk off, look around, and they spot another, and they go straight for them. And they don't ask them. Boy, ask them. And I used to do it all the time myself. But they start up with someone else. And the next thing you know, man, we're there at 10 o'clock still waiting for these guys. Man, if I'd have been doing my part, maybe he'd already been done with that guy because I'd have done it. But still, back to the point, where's the zeal? You know, I see these guys and it reminds me, where's my zeal? What happened to me? Where did I lose it? You know, like I was saying, I was young when I got saved and I couldn't go nowhere. But I sure had a desire to go. And you know, in the meantime, I wasn't just sitting around waiting. I was busy going, but where I could go.
Amen.
And there's something that happened just not too long ago. Arlene and Marty had a conversation, and Arlene was kind of joking around with Marty. Like Arlene was saying, she got real busy a while back. She got so busy she had to quit doing some of the things because she was basically neglecting the home. And to me, it was kind of a blessing. Before I even had to tell her anything, she figured it out herself. But one of the things she had started doing was going out, passing out tracts house to house. Not so much witnessing anybody, but just trying to get a tract in every house in this whole city. And that was the goal. And she started doing it. She got several of the women interested in doing it. Marty got interested in doing it and helping her out with it. And the sister that wrote the letter, she started doing it. And this other day, to keep the short story short, the other day, Arlene asked Marty, because Arlene quit going, she asked her, is the Eden still going in my place? And I really liked Marty's answer. No, Irene is going in her place. Nobody's going in your place. Yours is still empty. You know, each of us have a place in this word. Each one of us. Now, you know, we're missionaries. We go from one city to the next. And Bill was preaching the other day how some of these brethren in this church in Leon have taken his place. Wait a minute. I got it wrong. They have replaced him. Okay? They don't need him anymore. They've taken his place in that aspect. He's been replaced there. But you see, he hasn't been replaced in Morelia. Okay, see, he's got a place. It's no longer in Leon. His place is in Morelia. And these guys that are in Leon, they've taken their place. Okay? Everybody's got a place in this. Anyone who is a child of God has a place here. Now, that starts with anybody who's saved. How old are you? The youngest one here that's saved, how old are you? Maybe 5, 6 years old? Think about it for a couple minutes. Do you talk to strangers? You've been told not to talk to strangers, right? Don't we teach our kids, don't talk to them weirdos who come trying to talk to you in the street and give you stuff? Well, let me be real plain and clear. Your little friends at school, they won't talk to me. I can't go for you and talk to them about Christ because they won't listen to me. Their parents have told them, don't talk to strangers, and as far as they're concerned, I'm a stranger. You have a place. If you're saved, you need to tell your friends at school because nobody else will do it. Now, maybe you think, well, there's lots of time. They're young. They're not going to, you know, die or something. Well, you don't know that either. You happen to be, at the present, maybe their only hope of ever hearing the gospel. And it's your job, no matter how old you are, to start telling the gospel. Because the truth is, that goes all the way to 10, 12, 13 years old, maybe, where they're still very leery about talking to adults. And you know, once they get past that age of, you know, 12 or 13, they don't want to even listen to adults. So, you know, you may be thinking, yeah, but I don't know much. I'm only, you know, 10 years old. Well, okay, you know how to read, don't you? It's time to start reading. And you know, when your friends say, well, what about this or what about that? Because, of course, they're probably going to have their own religion too. It's time for you to find the answer. If you can't find the answer, ask your parents. Have someone help you out. I mean, that's how I used to do it. I mean, man, I'd go witness to somebody and they have some stupid, crazy idea. So, well, I'd go find my brother Tony who knew a little more than me. And, hey, man, what about this or what about that? Or I'd come here and ask one of the pastors and one of the brethren that knew more than me. And they'd help me out. They'd give me a verse here or there to answer the questions. Ask your parents. Find out. Don't use the excuse of, well, I'm still too young. Well, when will you be old enough then? Think about it. When will you be old enough? I mean, I've known teenagers say, oh, man, but I don't know nothing. I'm still too young. What's holding you back? Seriously, what's holding you back? And when you read this, is it just, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. Amen. Is that how it is to you? Just kind of humdrum, no meaning, just words? When will it become a reality to you? When will this become a reality in your life? Where is the zeal? Where is the desire to go and give the gospel? Amen. Do you remember a time in your life when you had that zeal, you had that desire to get out and give the gospel? You remember, Tony? You remember when we were young? Man, we used to do some of the stupidest things before we got saved, and then we started doing stupid things, but for the Lord. No joke. And we started doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But why? Because we had a desire to get closer to God. We had a desire to see more of Him in our lives and more people come to Him, more people come to Christ and be saved. And you know what? That zeal ended up sending me off to Mexico. Before that, oh, I had a zeal to go, but I couldn't. I wasn't old enough. It's that simple. I wasn't old enough that I could go to another country. But I was old enough to go to school every day and give the gospel to the people I knew. I was old enough to get out and go door knocking and give the gospel to people I didn't know. I had a desire to get the gospel out, to see the church grow. And sometimes I think that maybe we become a little bit too complacent, a little bit too just satisfied or distracted. I'm not sure. You know, now that I'm, as they spoke about my wife, aged, I'm older than her, so I'm definitely aged. Yeah, a little more than that. I got her beat by 2 days. I find a whole lot more distractions in life. Bill talking about, you know, this deal with the investments. Yeah, I even got some of those crazy ideas running through my mind. Investing in the future, you know. But reality, what future really are we investing in? Let's get back to what's been said here. Go. We've got a commandment here, not an option. He says, go. And there was a time probably in the most of you that this used to have an impact in your life. You used to actually feel like, oh man, I've been messing up bad. I've been slack, been sitting back, not doing my part, not fulfilling my place, leaving it empty. But then we get to the point where I did it before. Time to take it easy and rest now. No, it's not time to take it easy and rest. It's time to keep going. Because you see, he says, go. Go ye, therefore. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. When I tell my kids, go, I don't like to see them sitting there. I mean, it really bothers me. I remember a time once, I won't mention any names. My kids don't like me mentioning their names and giving examples about them. So I'm going to have a little bit of mercy on them pretty girls. But one day, one of my girls was helping me out. But until I explained something to her, she was not helping me out. Because, see, I was doing some work, and I asked her for a tool, and she did the usual. What is it? What does it look like? And I explained to her, look, let me explain something to you real simple. Whenever you get a job anywhere, and they tell you to go do something or go get something, take a guess. Go? Take a guess. What is it? Let's see. I think it's this, and take that. And believe me, if you do that with me, I'll appreciate it much more than if you just stand there and say, I don't know what it is. What does it look like? You know, if you go take a look in the toolbox, maybe you can imagine, well, pliers, what would they look like? And you know, impressively enough, I think she only messed up once out of all the things I sent her for after that. But she was really a help after that. Because, you know, I say, go get me this, and she didn't even ask me what it was. She took off, went to the tools, came back with something. Hey, did good. That's it. And, you know, I think she came back once with the wrong thing. And it was real simple because, see, she'd already had a picture of what was in the toolbox. So I said, it's the thing with the blue handles. And she went over and got it and brought it back. But you see, as long as she's just standing there, what does it look like? Well, how long will it take you to explain to me what pliers look like? I mean, you could try, well, they're like scissors, but no, they're not like scissors. See? And it, to me, it's very frustrating when I tell somebody, go do this, and they just stand there. And I know none of you that are parents are very proud of your children when, let me give you an example. I don't have no boys, so this is a good one. You tell your boy, go mow the lawn, and he sits in front of the TV and doesn't move an inch. And you say, oh man, look at my boy. Look how obedient he is. He doesn't make any noise. He sits there and doesn't cause any trouble. No, that's not what you're thinking, is it? You're thinking that kid better get up. And he better leave the TV before I decide to get rid of it. And he better go do what he was told, right? You know, it's something that over the years I've kind of left off spanking with my kids so much. When they were young, they used to hop, skip, and jump whenever I'd say something. And now that they're a little bit older, they're much slower at it because they know that I'm not going after the paddle every 10 seconds. If they don't move so fast, I'm going to tell them again. See, the thing is, my kids are no longer little children, and they got to learn how to obey just out of respect and willingness of their own. Because, you see, pretty soon they're going to be moving out of my house. And it's kind of hard for me to accept sometimes to think that Becky, you know, she's already 15 years old. 3 more years and she's 18. If she wants, she can just move on somewhere else. 3 more years. So in those 3 years, I got to teach her how to obey willingly. Because I sure don't want her husband having to spank her still. I'm serious, man. I try to teach my girls, look, you got it terrible. All your life, you got to obey somebody. So you might as well do it willingly, happily, and enjoy life. But think about it. When we were younger in the Lord, maybe we had a little more zeal because we thought, whoa, is he coming after me for not obeying? Huh? Was it because, you know, the Lord might be coming back today, man, and if he catches me here, I might be in serious trouble? But now as the years gone by and, well, I thought he was coming back in 81. And then I thought, well, you know, 81 passed, maybe 84. And as years went by, it's kind of like, well, hey, you know, tell you the truth, I don't know when he's coming back. He could be soon, he could be late. You know, I don't know. So sometimes that's not the thing that's in my mind like it used to be. I remember before, and it's like, man, he's coming, man. He can be here anytime. We only got so much time to go. It's got to get old. Amen. But now, as the years have gone by, has it started to happen to me like in Peter there where he says that These mockers, they say, it's just like it used to be. Nothing's changed. Just like when the fathers were here. I remember a teacher that I had that said that. I didn't realize he was quoting scripture, but I don't think he did either. But he was almost word for word quoting what it said there. Oh, my, I've heard that ever since I was a kid. He was an old, he was about as old as me. He was an old man back then. To me, at least. And you know, the Lord has tarried a little bit longer than I expected. But that doesn't mean he's not coming back tomorrow. That doesn't mean that, you know, we still got hundreds of years to wait. And if anything, none of us have hundreds of years to wait. At best, we got maybe another, and that's talking about the youngest, 80 years longer. And some of us older ones, man, we've already, as Billy used to say, eaten half our cookies, man. We ain't got much left. Go. Go. He says, go. You know, some of you aren't called to go to another country. I understand that. But are you going where you are?
Amen.
Are you filling your place here where you're at? Because you see, if you're filling your place here, you'll understand also that the only way you can continue with this that it's saying here, go into all the world, like he says in Mark, or as he says here, go into all nations, is by sending someone else. Now see, that's your place also. Your place, if you're staying here, is to send somebody somewhere else. And you know what? My place is to send somebody somewhere else too. Yeah, I'm in Mexico, but you see, the command's to me to go also everywhere.
Amen.
All nations. So it's my job also to send others in other places. You know, it's each one of our jobs to take care of where we're at and send someone else somewhere else. Why? Because we can't go to both places at the same time. So it's that's why it's our job to do this. But you see, as long as you haven't understood what your part is, the other part just becomes part of your religion. Yes, it just becomes, I'm supposed to do it because I meet at Oakno. I meet with the brethren there who support missionaries, so I gotta support them too. But you see, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be because you have an obligation. And you have a responsibility. And because of your responsibility, you not only witness and preach to the people around you, but you send to other countries.
Amen.
To other places where you can't physically go. That was one of the things that I remember back when I was younger, before I could go. Well, I would save my money and spend it on tracks and on missionaries. Why? Because I couldn't go. I was stuck here. So, well, let's see if I can help someone else go. But as long as you don't see your job here, the other is just not that important. It becomes just part of religion, part of whatever you want to call it. But it's not part of your life. It's not part of something that you really desire to see the gospel go out. And you see these things coming back and you hear about them and you pray with the fervency of, Lord, I want to see. I want you to do. No, it's kind of like, yeah, I gave to missions this month. What's the problem? Now you want me to pray too? No, when you're praying for the people that you run into every day, that you give gospel tracts to, that you witness to at school or at work, you'll start remembering about the other countries too. It has an effect on you when you see people lost and dying around you that just don't care about the gospel. And you try and witness to them, you try and give them the gospel, and they just kind of blow you off. You get this feeling of, we need the power of God. And then you also think about, yeah, these guys that I'm helping out over here, they need the power of God too. This thing is something that's involving everybody here. Everybody that's a child of God is involved in this. And it's our job to take care of the place that He has put us in. And when we take care of where we're at, we start seeing that what He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus talking to the disciples again, Acts 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But when you start taking care of Jerusalem where you're at presently, then your eyes start lifting up a little further for down the road some to where you're not at. And that's what I'm trying to make you see right now. If you've got no zeal for where you're at now, well, then you just probably ain't got much zeal for where you're not at. If you're not concerned about where you're at and the people you're dealing with, then you're probably not very concerned about the people you're not with and you're not dealing with. Brethren, this command, I know it was given to the apostles directly, but you know what? It would never come to us if they wouldn't have preached to other people, and those other people wouldn't have preached to other people who hadn't preached to other people. Where would he be now if it were to stop somewhere back there? How is it going to keep going if we stop now? You know, I've said it before. You know, I'm getting old. My kids know it, that's for sure. If the younger don't step in, what's going to happen when we die? Seriously, what's going to happen? No, it's our job, each one of us. He said go. What does that mean? That means go. That means sit back and relax. It means go. It's a command. And I don't know about you, but when I think about it, I'm thankful that the apostles, they gave the gospel. And I'm thankful that the people that heard them continued giving the gospel. You see, I wasn't raised up in a Christian home. I still remember the night that some guy showed up at my house, spoke with my brother Tony and I, and my brother ended up getting saved. But you know, if he would have just pitched in the towel then, I would have chalked it off, another false religion. And it would have been done with me. I would have forget. I don't want to hear about it. But you see, God did something in his life. And because he remained faithful, I ended up getting saved. And you know what? Because the Lord saved me, and he's kept me faithful, I've known other people to get saved. And you see, it kind of keeps going. Some of those people are older than me, some of those are younger than me. In other words, some could probably, possibly will die before I do, and some won't. But you know what? Some of these guys that are older than me, they've won people younger than me. So what do we see? We see a chain reaction. But if we get dried-eyed, or we no longer care, where our heart's so hardened that it's their problem, man, I've done my part. What's the hope? Will there be faith when Christ comes back? Faith on the earth? But what if he waits till after our generation? Will there be faith on the earth? You know, I always thought, hey man, I want to be there when he comes back, believe in him. But you know, what if he takes me home first? What if he takes all of us here present out of here before he comes back? Well, we have done our job to the point that others will still be here. Others will still be here believing on him the day he comes back. Go was the command. Go. What do you think about it when you tell your kids go? And they just sit there. You're not pleased, are you? Is the Lord pleased with us? Are we going? Are we doing our part? Do we even have any desire to go? You know, I about found the only way to get that desire back is to start going. Amen. Start going, even though at first it may be forced, but start going. And going with others that actually have a little bit of zeal, because they actually are encouraging. It was shared earlier, I don't remember, morning or evening, that people you hang around with have an effect on you. So better hang around some people that are zealous for the Lord, man. They actually have some good effect on you. Might actually encourage you and give you a little bit more zeal to serve the Lord again. And when you read these things, it'll be like, yes, I've done it. I'm doing it. It's good. I want to hear more. Instead of, oh man, would you quit it, please? I'm tired of hearing. You know what I mean, don't you? You've been in both places, haven't you? Brethren, don't you want that joy again? See people come to Christ? You know, some of you don't have children. Some of you do. And you know what it's like to see your child. Physically speaking, you know what it's like to see your child after they're born. It just gives you a joy. They're healthy. They're alive. The Lord gave them to me. And spiritually speaking, you know what I'm talking about too. When you've won somebody to the Lord, and they've actually been faithful and serving God and living for God, and it's just like, praise God. The Lord is working. This is the Lord's doing, not mine. And it's something that you just can't express the joy of it. You know, I've seen so many people that say, oh yeah, you know, and 3 weeks later, where are they? But I'm talking about the ones that stay. Your fruit that remaineth, that's the one I'm talking about. That one, doesn't it bring a joy to your heart to think about them and to remember the things that the Lord has done with you and them, even together? And now that you see them when you're not around, that they're still serving God? Isn't it a joy?
Amen.
Brethren, go. Go. Go to your friends at school. Yeah, I know, most of them aren't going to believe you. But at least when you pray for the missionaries, you remember. Yeah, I remember what it's like to have people turn me down. And when you pray for these guys that go downtown preaching, you can remember, yeah, I know what it's like. I'll bet they're probably getting discouraged right now. I think I'll pray the Lord encourage them. You know that when you're doing it, you can actually have some compassion, understanding, and you give a better idea what exactly to pray for. You know, some of you guys are old enough where I know your excuse is you're too young, but that's not an excuse. You're plenty old. You could catch a bus and go downtown on your own if you wanted to. It's not that far. It ain't that expensive. You spend more lunch at school to somebody about the gospel and do your part. Because you see, if you don't even think about these kind of things now, the day the Lord starts tugging on your heart and telling you it's time for you to go to another country, you won't even be half ready. But you see, if you prepare yourself now, when that day comes, it'll be just like another step across the street. Just cross another street, no big deal. Part of life. It's time to go elsewhere. The commandment's to go. It's not to stay, it's to go.
You got to start by going where you're at. And then, if the Lord leads you to go elsewhere, you go elsewhere. But in the meantime, you stay where you're at, going. Not sitting, not waiting, going.
Amen.
And then you seek how, where, and when can I send someone somewhere else to where I can't go. Two things. They go hand in hand. If you're not going where you're at, the rest of the world isn't that important. But when you're going where you're at, and you have the zeal to see the Lord working in people's lives and people coming to Christ, then you have a vision. I'm not talking about one of these visions that you see up on the back wall there. No. I'm talking about in your own heart, you have this vision of, we can go elsewhere. We can go farther. Mexico's not the end of the world. Poland's not the end of the world. There's more out there. But until you get busy where you're at, doing your part here where you're at, the rest of it's just never land. It's later, someday, tomorrow. But you see, tomorrow never comes, man. Later, it's always later. Go. Don't you like immediate obedience when you tell your children to go? Don't you like that? Seriously, don't you like that? You tell your child, go do this, and they just pop up and go? Man, you're actually like, yeah, that's my kid. You saw that? That's my kid. You're proud of it. But when they just sit there like a lump on a log and didn't even hear you, you're like, that's my kid. Well, what do you want God to say about you when you come before Him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or, yeah, that's my kid. Come on in. No compliments, just saved by fire. What is it that you want? What is your zeal? What is your drive? What is it that you're seeking after? He said, go. Have you gone? Too scared? I understand. I know people, even like me, myself, man, as chicken as could be, come up here tonight, shaking away. But, man, these guys, I can't believe them sometimes. I've never been that way, but the guy gets sick to the stomach, but he still gets up and preaches. To me, it's like, man, what's going on? It's not that bad. But yet, he'll still do it. You know, you're not the only one with that fear. You're not the only one that's scared. Take courage. Take courage. Don't be afraid. What did the Lord say? I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Even to the end. He won't leave us. But the commandment was to go. It's time to go. No time to be wasting. You're young. Don't keep saying, when I grow up, it's time to start with your own friends. You're old. Well, it's time to quit saying later, because there won't be much. It's time to go. Let's pray. Lord, we apologize. We confess, Lord, we've not been zealous about this command that you've given us. Lord, we ask you for forgiveness. We ask you to give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the boldness to obey you. Lord, take away our fears. Lord, help us to be obedient. Lord, we need you, and we need your life. We need your joy. We need your life in us, Lord, and we want that joy that you've given us. We don't want it ever taken away from us, Lord. We want a close walk with you. Lord, I ask that you would help each of us this night to put our hearts right before you. Lord, to not put any more excuses. Lord, to be zealous. Be zealous always of good works, Lord, to do good things for you. Lord, help us to go as you've said to go. Help us to go to where we're at, everywhere we go. Lord, we need you. Lord, you are our life. You're our joy. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your spirit and guide us in all that we do. Lord, I do thank you. Amen.